Hi, my name's Pete Banton, and I'm the co-founder of the Awaken Life Project here in Portugal. And I'd like to welcome you to this new podcast, which is named after my recently released first book called The Fire of the Heart. In this podcast, I'm going to be exploring the nature of an authentic spiritual awakening and its potential implications in these tipping point times we are living through together. I hope that you will find these podcasts illuminating and provocative, and most of all, I hope that they'll ignite a big and potentially all-consuming fire in your heart.
So I'm very happy to be doing a dialogue today with Aaron Kleinemann, and as part of the series on A New Man's Liberation. And I came across Aaron actually on my Facebook feed, and I saw an advertisement and some testimonials about a retreat he was doing in Spain, which is just next door to where I'm based here in Portugal. And I was very struck that it sounded very deep, very authentic. Some of the subjects and modalities that Aaron was using definitely resonated with some of the things that I do with men on my retreats. So I did a bit of research, and it looks like we resonate in many ways about the importance of a new man's liberation and a culture of initiation for men in these tipping point times. So to begin, I'd just like to ask you, Aaron, if you could say a little bit about yourself, your journey, just how you ended up doing the work you're doing with men.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a Merchant Marine Academy back in the U.S. So, I was probably about 80% men in the academy I went to, and grew up outside of Boston. Always had a strong, desire to understand more about human behavior, but then somehow found myself navigating big cruise ships and container ships around the world, kind of, you could say, finding my soul for the first time on the ocean. And did a master's degree in spiritual psychology in my early 20s in Southern California. That's often the place you go for such things. And there was always just this curiosity to understand more of like who we are and what's going on. Had a number of mentors. I worked for a big self-development publishing company in my early 20s at the same time, helping people transform a lot of their abuses and traumas and situations, finding gratitude through some of life's biggest challenges. And it just really dove me deep into this whole field of transformation and how can we shift and, you could say, become a better version or really remember who we really are, whatever words are there. Got disillusioned for a long time, went back out to sea, it was like, I don't want anything to do with this industry. Years later, ayahuasca came in my world, and she was like, I know you're having fun and you're doing the maritime thing, but maybe you can go be in service again. And I said, all right, I can do that. So I kind of merged back into this world. And yeah, I what I found especially was that from my own experience, and also just the inquiries that were coming forth for me, were from a lot of men, especially around sexuality, just wanting to have a deeper understanding, a deeper appreciation, really learning how to navigate and master the human experience more. And it was from a lot of my own journey that, I wasn't trying to step into this world. It just kind of led me in this direction. And now, I'm almost 10 to 11 months out of the year, I'm traveling and doing workshops and retreats and, festivals, and really just supporting people, I'd say, essentially to remember the wisdom of their soul and to get out of our own way and to have a deeper mastery. And most of probably 80% of the clients and, retreats and things I work with tend to be men as well. So this one that you mentioned is called the Initiation Journey. you know, one of my intentions in that is no stone goes unturned. So all of the deepest fears and taboos and worries that are inside of a man's body, we get to really somatically dive into. You know, my 20-year-old maritime self probably never would have thought I'd be doing work like this, but it's what my soul has led me to. So I just try to get out of my own way and keep moving forward.
Yeah, great. And be great if you could share a little bit about, more specifically about the kind of work you're doing, because you just mentioned somatic work. And obviously, yeah, that's a big area. That's definitely, you know, it's one thing for men to sit in a circle and open up and be vulnerable. You know, that's quite rare. But actually to open up to actually being willing to be held or touched, or, you know, love and affection to be expressed, you know, that kind of intimacy between men, of course, is it's usually there's a lot of armoring around all of that. So share a little bit about what you do with men in these retreats.
You know, I think a framing towards that I witnessed in my own journey was there was an aspect of me as a being that I know how to be alpha. I was a drill instructor at one point. I know how to lead men. I know how to be directive. I knew how to that. But the more tender parts, the ones you were just saying, I wasn't as well like aware of it. You could say more receptivity. And the thing I've noticed in culture and just our society, and I'll frame it this way, people listening may or may not resonate, but I feel like the most undeveloped, unhealthy feminine energy is in a man's body. And so often what I see men who come to a men's circle initially, like there's a desire to talk and let their voice be spoken. And that's beautiful. I love that. And what I was noticing and going to a lot of men's circles was there, I wanted to go deeper. I'm like, okay, I hear your story, but like, what's underneath that? Like, what's going on underneath that? What's really like bubbling almost beyond a space of words? So, you know, for several years now, when I am living in one city, which isn't often these days, I often hold these circles of like embodiment for men. And we'll do like a round of first sharing. And then the second round is like a really an invitation to go beyond the words into the body. And it's a place of just recognizing that our mind can have such a deep understanding of things, but often our body is still trying to catch up. And I noticed in my own journey in my early 20s, when I was studying with some of the greatest minds and teachers and, you know, mentors that I could get my hands on, I understood all these concepts, but still my relationships and things, there were still some friction and some challenge. So it was like my mind understood one thing, but my body was still like, maybe, you know, a 15 or 17-year-old. So creating spaces in these retreats that give men an opportunity to get out of the mind and into the body and into the mystery of the body and the weirdness and the strangeness and the expression and all of that, I feel more and more in holding places like that and inviting men in that way, there's something else that lands. There's a deeper, you could say, initiation that happens. There's a deeper integration that begins to emerge, where there's a cellular shift that happens inside the body that can't necessarily always be, you know, explained cognitively. And that's when I see that and I can witness it, it's like, ah, okay, this is why I'm doing this work.
yeah, that's, I can really relate to that too. And it's interesting that you said a cellular shift, because it reminds me of this phrase that Jed Diamond mentioned. He was the first guy I interviewed. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's been doing men's work for 40 years. And it was actually a phrase from Robert Bly, who was one of the pioneers of the men's movement in the 70s, 80s, I believe. And he had this phrase called the song that male cells sing. And that really captures something for me. And I think this is what you're also sharing, tapping into. It's something about, yeah, when men get out of their kind of mental, verbal mechanism, let's say, through which we're usually trying to understand and navigate through the world, and open up to this kind of, you could say, heartfelt vulnerability, which obviously includes not only feeling and emotion, but also embodiment. Mm. There's a cellular shift, as you say. Mm-hmm. And then something happens in the room or in the space energetically. Mm-hmm. That is undeniable, but can't really be, quantified, let's say, or easily.
Yeah, exactly.
So, very much resonate with that. So what are some of the modalities and practices you're using to catalyze this?
Well, a big piece I utilize is definitely working with the group dynamic. I feel like when a group of men come together, most of these retreats, it tends to be 20 to 25 guys, so it's big enough, but it's also small enough where a sense of intimacy can be there and a place where guys can begin to let down the mask. I teach a lot in this field of Tantra, which can be very misunderstood, but in my perspective, and the definition that always speaks to me the most is, to weave. Yeah. So it's to weave all these different disciplines together. And there's a lot of tools on the tool belt from the last 15 years of doing this work. And, I think the greatest tool or practice is the gift of presence. There's a saying in a field of Tantra where it's like, all of you is welcome. So when, men show up into this retreat or to a circle and they can feel that, their wildness and they're crazy and they're soft and they're tender and all those parts are fully welcome to be seen and to be heard and to be felt, then something, it's like a permission field opens.
Yeah.
So we go into, somatic practices, we do some, you could say some regression timeline, earlier lifetime, early childhood type healing stuff. Sometimes it's in partners, sometimes it's in group, sometimes it's on their own. But really the essence always being, let us understand. So I'll give some discourse and some framing about, the concepts we're moving in. And then I invite people into the body. I work a lot with the unconscious, in shadow work. It's something that I've studied a lot with, as well as really navigating into some of the deeper traumatic wounds. I find, especially for these initiation retreats, I completely tackle sexuality, like it's very much on the table. And the thing that I've also seen in the men's work field, and not to negate it, but when I've looked at Mankind Project and some of these other bigger groups, it's not like there's a big sexuality component, because I think sexuality still has a big kind of hidden taboo. Yeah. And what I've, confronted in my own journey, as well as being led by, a few mentors a while back, was like to really put all of that there and then to dive into it and to really embrace it. The level of brotherhood that comes together is far greater. Like out of all of the different retreats and things I teach through the year, the brotherhood coming together in those is far beyond I can ever actually understand. I think partly because once those taboos around homophobia and trust and sexuality can actually be like experienced and moved through, then there's just this softening and this safety that lands into the body that's almost indescribable.
Yeah, right. And seeing you mention the sexuality theme, let's dive a bit deeper into that, because I agree with you. I think, of course, culturally, we're kind of in this crazy situation in the West, I feel, where you have this sort of sex positive culture in the sense that sex is everywhere, we're being stimulated all the time by advertising, all the rest of it, And yet at the same time, that's pasted on top of this very sex negative, more traditional culture, particularly through Christianity and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of people, a lot of men, a lot of women who would even presume themselves to be, let's say, sexually liberated relatively or progressive, it's often not really the case, it's just on the surface, and there's all kinds of, as you say, taboos and insecurities. And I think just to focus on men, you know, men don't generally, well, men might talk about sex and women quite a bit, but usually it's not in this sort of deeper relational context. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's more the whole macho jerk, you know, bravado kind of thing. And yeah, one of the things we've discovered in our work is that there's something about when we open up and share both our sexual challenges and experience, that while of course there's all these differences, somewhat everyone has maybe a kind of particular experience or challenge, but essentially we're all the same. Mm-hmm. and just this recognition, oh you do, you have that too, oh you struggle with that too, oh right, you know. And it just, as you said, then it just, there's a whole deep field of relaxation, and suddenly this topic that despite the fact that sex is everywhere is still kind of presumed to be the most personal thing. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. and therefore, you know, not something you would just necessarily freely expose, you know, becomes very impersonal. Mm-hmm. in a sense. And then that frees up, yeah, as you said, just this intimacy, and it frees up those energies that are usually locked up, you know, to do with, I've got to be a certain way to be a man or to please my woman or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm with you in terms of Tantra. I think it's very, very misunderstood. But I like the definition that you also like of the weave. Mm-hmm. And particularly the weave of the masculine and feminine, not only man and woman, but within, you know, a man in terms of himself, a woman in terms of herself, and then the wider understanding that comes obviously from India, you know, of Shiva Shakti, that mm-hmm. everything that is,
yeah,
that arises is the feminine,
yeah,
and that pure witness consciousness is the masculine.
Yeah, and you know, the two sort of polarities that I work a lot with men on, you could say one would be the dark penetrative power that's inside of a man's body that often has a certain level of denial. We almost deny kind of that animal strength and that power. You could put it around warrior, but almost beyond that to a place that's like, just knows how to walk into a room and penetrate through anything that's not love.
Right.
Often when society thinks of penetration, we think of some male or male-dominated organization trying to have power over others.
Right.
So it's really a deep dive into power, that power, when it's shared, and the power of penetration is actually a great gift that can annihilate things in front of itself that creates more synergy and love. So that would be one. And then we dive deep into kind of the, what I would call the younger, tender feminine inside of a man's body that might be a little bit afraid and timid and doesn't know how to express her needs and doesn't know how to communicate how she feels. When I'm saying she, I'm saying that essence that's alive in a man's body. In yeah. that reference point, that I feel the greatest thing I've come across in this field of Tantra and development is that if this inner union, this masculine and feminine inside of me, isn't in a symbiotic relationship, then I usually will have challenges in my outer relationship, whether that's in business, whether that's in romance. So the more that this inner union for a man is in congruency and talking, and it's not always this projection of trying to find some woman on the outside that's gonna, you know, make my world better and all this and all the things that the Hollywood dream has kind of, you know, taught us. So what happens when this becomes whole, and then I can meet the outside world and I can connect in a way that isn't from a needy little girl inside, which I think is one of the deepest shadows for men, is this very this part that usually comes out in relationship when finally the man's like, oh, I can let go a little bit. And then this feminine essence like, oh, my needs matter too. And they do matter, but they often come across as very, you know, unhealthy and not well developed because they're not. She inside hasn't really had a seat at the table for most of a man's life. She's been pushed down and chastised and buried away and like, no, I have to be the space holder. I am Shiva. I am everything. And it's like, hi, I'm here as well. Like, listen to me, you know, hello. So that to me is really a feminine initiation that I think is necessary for a man's body that actually makes him more strong and certain and direct. And you know, this is coming from a guy that came from a maritime military background. Like, yeah. You know, I wanted nothing to do. I'm like, I know how to be alpha. I know how to lead. I know how to direct. And when someone was saying, oh yeah, just, you know, surrender into your feminine, I was like, fuck you, what are you talking about, dude? Not none of that, you know. But I realized that there were so many edges there that actually expanded me, that made my masculine more strong and on point, and I was able to hold a greater wavelength, a greater expansion of polarity inside of me. Yeah. Which then makes life just much more fun.
Yeah, beautiful. And this whole exploration and dance of polarity, both let's say within the male psyche and then in relationship to women. Yeah, I think this is a fascinating one, and something I've been becoming more and more convinced of as I work with this collective, but also doing these interviews, is you know, we need a masculine culture that catalyzes and magnifies and deepens both the masculine and the feminine polarity, and it also very much depends on the man and his cultural background, you know. So, you know, generally I'm sure you'd agree, in the more postmodern liberal progressive sort of cultures, you know, a lot of the men who would consider themselves spiritual guys, you know, I was one of these, you know. I remember growing up and in my early 20s, this whole thing of being a man, it just seemed irrelevant to me. It was like, well, I'm interested in enlightenment, you know, what's that got to do with anything? Doesn't really make any difference. And but as I was growing up, I spent most of my 20s traveling around the world and just exploring all kinds of things. And, you know, I had a lot of men friends where we could have a good time, you know, we could party, we could get high, we could play music, you know, but it couldn't really go beyond a certain, you know, boundary in terms of any intimate relational depth. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I generally found that with women mm-hmm. friends. And but then, of course, there's the whole sexual dynamic often made that somewhat complicated. Mm-hmm. And it was only when I joined a spiritual community when I was age 27, and we had a men's group, some women's groups, and when I would join this men's group, it was such a relief. A relief in a way that I never knew. There was something I never knew I was longing for. Mm-hmm. And I also find with men who join this, the Awakened Life men's collective I'm leading, that's the most resounding similarity in all the men that join, is this sense of, at last, you know. And they realize they've been longing for something that they weren't fully conscious of, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is to be able to be with men, to be in a brotherhood where there's that positive masculine pole, and to open up to this tenderness, to this vulnerability that you're speaking mm-hmm. about, that's all welcomed, as you said, you know, you can bring everything to the path. That's mm-hmm. that's the tantric way. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting though, because I find with some men, this was definitely the case for me, what's needed is a more of a confrontation, an initiation, you could say, that brings the masculine online, brings the warrior online, you know, mm-hmm. like toughen up, man up. Mm-hmm. Take responsibility, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, for some men, it might be more of, you know, because I'm in Portugal here, it's interesting in some ways, it's not so postmodern, you know. Mm. So it's a more patriarchal, a bit more macho culture here than Northern Europe, for example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for men just to be vulnerable or just to open up and say, actually, I need help or I don't know, you know.
Those three words? Trouble for a man? No, I have never met any men like that.
And it's been interesting in the interviews because I interviewed this guy, Mark Binet. I don't know if you've heard of him. Mm-mm. And really great. We had a great time. We have a sort of common sort of spiritual background somewhat. But he's doing this. He's got this whole academy called the Academy for Dominant Men and Submissive Women or something like that. And he's really pushing up against the postmodern depolarization, you know. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot to this. I think part of the reason we're in such a cultural crisis is that men have become so weak and so easily manipulated, you know, and, you know, have lost their, you know, not only their Shiva in terms of presence, but also their balls, you know, as you point to in your book. But in his work, he would say, for example, well, for a man, he shouldn't talk about his feelings, really. That's going to depolarize him. Mm-hmm. And I would say, yes, probably not with your woman, you know. Mm. But that's why you need some brothers. You need a men's culture where you can, you know, deal with your stuff, you know, mm-hmm. bring some of these shadows to light. And so you don't have to work it all out with your woman, because that is going to interfere with a healthy polarity. So wonderful. Yeah.
I agree to definitely pieces of that. I see, you know, I was living down in Australia for a while, which is definitely a very like machismo culture, and guys that, you know, like even thought of talking about feminine, they're like, what are you, homo? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, that's just the nature of it. So I can see the benefit of the strong machismo, you know, dominant side of the masculine. But I don't think it needs to be either or. Like, my being, I can walk into a room and I can, you know, fully become that dark masculine dominant penetrative power. I can also completely surrender into like the tears and the vulnerability of my feminine. Both, I think, are extremely powerful. The challenge that I find, I just had a dear brother who was assisting my last retreat, who, you know, is very much in this, the young guy, he's in this like, and, you know, at one point we went through one of the rituals and he's like, vulnerability is also power. And I was like, yes, it's not like there's this thought that I think happens where somehow if I'm vulnerable, then I become weak. And the only way I can be strong is if I assert my dominance. And like, in my perspective, I think humanity in the world has had enough, you know, strongly assertive masculine essence trying to have power over others that there's a new way for something new. My personal feel is, and when I speak into the feminine, it's, you know, it's a feminine in all, but like that leadership that arises from the unknown that needs structure and form. It's like that dominant structure, the bones in our body needs the water, needs the flow. The water in our body needs the bone. We can't have one without the other. So in my perspective, when I come across things that are like, no, it's like, okay, but there's the other side. Unless we're speaking into the equanimous nature of this universe that we live in, then we live in illusion. So I like, that was such a strong ingrained principle that I began to understand at a young age. And actually, the way we transcend these polarities is having gratitude and an embodiment for both of them. and the embodiment for both of them actually then opens up a channel where the essence of somebody can actually be revealed. And, and everyone's on their own journey and they're finding their own way and it's all evolutions and growths and, meeting these new edges. But that's just, from my perspective in doing this for a while, I feel like that necessity of knowing both sides of the polarities inside so deeply and intimately that I can be in either one completely and deeply.
Yeah, great. I totally resonate with that. I think what you described has also been, I'd say, the core learning and again, the sort of revelation for men when men get involved in this is that vulnerability equals strength and not weakness. And that turns something on its head in terms of the male psyche. when one really discovers that, and of course it opens up a trust, a profound trust in one's brothers in a context of men, but also a potentially deeper trust in women. Like I don't have to hold my armor up, in order to be strong. And just to say a little bit more about what, based on what you were saying, it's my ongoing experience, and this is quite mysterious, is that the more we as men embody both sides of this polarity within ourselves, then actually our masculine polarity, you could say an awakened masculine polarity, becomes even stronger. So in essence, we become more attractive. Mm-hmm. More powerful and more polarized, but it's an integrated man, mm-hmm. So it's not a macho jerk or just a dominant man who's very polarized to a more submissive, nurturing woman. It's amazing to see that the more men open up to love and vulnerability and tenderness and become radiant, that kind of opening to softness and radiance, at the same time there's a strength that shines through that is very, very, is very strong. It's very penetrating, mm-hmm. as you said earlier, but it doesn't have any hard edges. And then it's inherently welcoming, mm-hmm. the women feel drawn to that, mm-hmm. and more able to trust a strong man, because those hard edges, are not being animated. And so just to give Mark Binney credit, because he, in his approach, he talks about dominance with devotion, mm-hmm. trust in devotion, devotion to the feminine. And I totally resonate with that. But I also think this aspect of vulnerability, especially between men, is just such an important part of the puzzle, because you can be very, very devoted to women and the feminine. But I think this vulnerability that we're talking about, at best, it's discovered and opened up between men.
Absolutely. And the thing that I've come to recognize with that, and this is where I see a lot of challenge that happens in relationships, because, I'll talk into a normal heteronormative relationship. So strong man with, beautiful, powerful, but like also goddess woman. And she's saying to him, I want to feel you more. I want to feel you more. And he's like, okay, all right, I'm going to try to feel more. I'm going to feel more. And then in the moment, whenever that's, let's say, 5% of the time, or in some moment when he's like, okay, I keep hearing my woman, she's telling me to feel more. And then he then feels more. Now in that moment, if the female body's masculine hasn't developed enough to be able to witness without judgment, and you could say, quote, hold space, whatever that means for you, then that moment when that tender essence is coming out of the man, it's meeting this masculine essence in the woman, which is really at the contrasexual self, which is an area where the most level of friction happens in most relationships. And so if that's met with judgment, ridicule, blame, or shame, imagine that essence. That's this young, tender essence in the man's body is like, it's not safe to come out, because when I come out of this body, I'm not met with love, I'm met with judgment. So that's often what men experience, which then tries to put on this bigger shell, this bigger hard hat, this bigger, I'm the man, I'm never going to show my tenderness because that's terrible. So what you're speaking into is one of the things I witness is that the feminine essence inside a man's body, she trusts more the masculine in a man's body than the masculine in a female's body. And so this is one of the beautiful gifts that happen in men's circles and men's retreats and things, is that that feminine essence is like, oh, I can grow up a little bit more here. I can express how I feel. I can be a little bit messy, and I'm not going to get ridiculed by others. I'm actually just going to be in this beautiful, loving soup of my of brotherhood and connection. And because all of the other men there have the same level of insecurity. And so what happens as a result of that is there's literally a growing up and a maturing of that essence inside the man. So therefore, that inner union develops and matures, which then makes the masculine essence of the man more strong and more to have more capacity to do what a man is supposed to do, whatever that means in society. Yeah. So it's like, you know, we're sold one thing, but we need another. You know, this exact principle, like in my book, the Embodied Man, like chapter 7 is Awakening the Inner Queen. Like, I would never put that on the title of the book. Guys would never pick it up. It's like, who the fuck is this guy? What a queen. But like, I take them through a journey to a point of like, you need to honor that queen inside, or else you're always going to be having, you know, the frustration, the annoyance of the queen on the outside. Because most men, they project all of their own feminine onto their partner, and they make her their world. And then when she doesn't do what you want, and she leaves, or she does this, it's like this grasping love addict part comes out that's super unhealthy and super unloved and super like, and the man's like, oh my God, what was that thing that just came out of me? I'm really uncomfortable. I don't want to see that anymore. And he tries to deny it. And this is generally where so much of the issues that I find arise for a lot of men, especially when it comes to deep relating.
Yeah, really fantastic. Yeah, we're very much on the same thread with this. Yeah, because another way to frame it is, you know, in postmodern culture, obviously, you know, there was a lot positive that came out of feminism, you know, goes without saying. But, you know, in postmodern culture, there's this general feeling that, you know, we're the cause of everything that's wrong, you know, patriarchy. And so, as we know, there's a whole kind of, I believe it's actually an agenda, you know, it's kind of a war on my masculinity, you know, culturally, in the media culture. And, you know, we have this phrase, toxic masculinity, and you know, so many men feeling confused. And as you say, you know, then their women are telling them, well, you need to feel more. And, you know, what does that mean? I can remember when I was first presented that challenge, I was like, feel what, you know?
What do you want me to feel?
I'm British as well. Like, the British are like, you know, talk about emotional illiteracy, you know. I mean, just to get in touch with that, you're actually feeling something, you know, let alone express it, you know, that was quite a learning. But of course, where that whole kind of emphasis, you know, you got to feel more, it ends up with this idea we have with sharing your emotions, and we become these sensitive new age guys, you know, a lot of men do, with their gentle voices, you know. And you know, in all the work I've done over the years with this kind of transformational work, it's always been very interesting to see that it's the very gentle, sensitive new age guys, you know, they're the angry ones, actually. You know, you poke a little bit and whoa, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just so much of that is just a mask, you know, the social conditioning, you know, of what we're being told it means to be a more sensitive spiritual man. And so there's this whole depolarization of the sexes, of course, women becoming over masculinized. I mean, I remember growing up, going to university in London in the 80s, and, you know, you're walking through the corridor and, you know, I would naturally hold the door open for a woman behind me, you know. Wouldn't think about, you don't have to do that for me. How dare you?
Why would you do such a chivalrous thing?
You know, and I remember even the women's toilets, it was spelled M-O-W-Y-N instead of men, you know, things like this. And, you know, just so many women who unconsciously don't realize how they've become kind of hard, you know. And as you say, one symptom of that is this being very judgmental and of their men. And so then we have this, you know, popular idea of the war of the sexes. And, you know, another popular idea, which apparently this is something the Dalai Lama said also, that the salvation of the Western world depends on women being in more positions of power. You know, this idea that, you know, we've made a mess of it, so we need more women to kind of take over, basically. And while I think obviously there's some truth to that, of course there's something very positive about women having that kind of influence, but it's more and more I feel that it's kind of working it out between the sexes. You know, while there's been some, let's say, evolutionary advance from traditional culture, of course, it's, we have to, you know, when we have to go to the men's tent, the women have to go to the women's tent, and the women have to discover what leadership means, you know, what feminine power means, not in relation and in opposition and reaction to us.
Yes, exactly.
And the same, obviously, for us. And then, you know, this is also what I'm very interested in terms of the bigger and deeper picture culturally, is like what kind of new culture could we create as men and women, where we carry forward the best of postmodern learnings, you know, and increased sensitivity and all of that, but we actually bring a healthy instinctual polarity, you know, back online in a fully embodied way. And then it's not going to be about, you know, equality. It's not going to be about balance of power. That's just not the point. You know, that's actually depolarizing. And then we'll find out what it'll look like and what it'll be.
Yeah, and, you know, it brings about the other side of this, like, walking on eggshells feeling, I think, a lot of men experience of, like, wanting, being told to be really strong and, you know, please fuck me to God, but then please feel at the same time. And man's like, where do I go? What do I do? What's going on? You know, and that's this, I think, sense that's kind of lost in society as well, because there is a necessity for a strong, powerful, assertive masculine that steps up, that knows how to lead, that can do so, but the quality of leadership, and just what I'm hearing, I think, in the shift forward, is it's coming from a different heart-centered space. Right. It's still just as powerful, but the dynamic, I think, a lot of times when we look at leadership is like, I need to lead, they need to be small so I can be big. But, and this is one of the big, you know, pieces I work a lot, you know, in my retreats and with clients and things, is like this conversation of power. Because you can be really powerful, I can be really powerful, and we can actually merge together to be powerful together. and often from the old kind of belief in masculinity is like, I need to be powerful and I need to push you down so that others know that I'm powerful. And that to me is an old dying paradigm. And, you know, a lot of our financial structures, our social structures, our country, there's a lot that's built in that framework of, I know best, so I'm going to lead and I'm going to be the big one so that you just lead and don't even think about it because I know the way. And there's enough awareness on a socioeconomic level in people's lives that there's something else being birthed. There's something else coming forth. So I think, you know, for men, it's finding this dance between, okay, I'm wanting to feel more and express more and tap into my receptivity and creativity, but also know your balls, like know like the power and the strength of like your certainty and like, this is what I'm seeding. This is who I am. And it, you know, to me, it just gets into like the ergonomics of a male body when it comes to procreation. It's like, you know, the phallus, the penis, the vajra, whatever word you want to use, rises at a point of focus to then create life.
Right.
The yoni, the vagina, receives seed to then create life. So there's a receptivity in the feminine. There's a penetration in the masculine that actually is what creates life. So those polarities are essential, and they can be embedded into our world. I think sometimes I see people in this conversation of polarity, like trying to get rid of polarity. It's like, if you get rid of polarity, we're all going to die because we're in these flesh suits that are cells that are positive charges and negative charges that create life. So we can't deny duality trying to transcend duality. We have to master duality in order to actually move into more congruency with how we show up in the state of deeper love.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets exciting, because then we get to redefine all these old paradigms and principles into something new. But the only way we can create new is by dissolving and feeling and evolving out of all of the old stuff that we've been holding on to, especially as men, when we weren't heard and we weren't listened to and we weren't loved, or someone blamed us or shamed us, and all that stuff that gets stuck as emotional energy inside the body.
Yeah, fantastic. And I totally resonate with that. And I'm just curious, because obviously you're busy, your work is flourishing. Is it generally your experience that you're finding more and more men are craving for this, you know, that men are, you know, they're picking up a signal, you could say, of being called to a higher and deeper masculinity, whatever that would mean?
I do, yeah, you know, and a lot of that, I feel like, especially in these spiritual communities, there's enough, you know, women around that are like, where are all the men? Where are all the conscious men in this conversation? It's like, they're here and they're doing their work and they're stepping up and more of that. And it's also, I can feel outside, because I feel like for a lot of men, their spiritual journey often comes from the female partner saying, you know, pushing them, come on, come on. And I can relate to that. Definitely many evolutionary places along the way was a woman being like, all right, dude, like, come on, step up, you know, you had some shit to do. And it was beautiful. And I can also feel now there's this deeper willingness inside of a man's body to really meet edges more and more. I mean, I'm seeing this over and over. And what I find, you know, this particular initiation journey retreat, which this year will happen over 5 times in 5 different countries, like I see like this quality and caliber of men. It often, you know, 60-70% of the guys that are coming are holding men's circles. They're really active in their community, and they're seeking out the next evolution. They've kind of been doing the men's circle thing. They're ready for that, and they're like, okay, there's some other edges that are there. And I love that, because we really, I haven't come across, you know, I don't know obviously all the men's work that happens on the planet. I just know that a lot of the deepest underlying core issues around sexuality, around our trust, around homophobia, all these things that men often will never even talk about in a men's circle, like that's the place that we go inside these retreats. And you know, I love that. And it really, I can then know that the man who's coming then makes that much more of an influence back in his community. And I think that's really where this work spreads and grows more and more and more.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting that you said, yeah, a lot of men who've already been doing some circles or work looking for the next level, because I feel part of that is, it's exemplified also in the dialogue we're having right now. You know, it's like those of us who are, let's say, pioneering this work, we're experimenting. It's just really good to share what's going on. What's your experience? What are you bringing to the table? You know, and that kind of brotherhood, because, you know, as we know, as men, we can easily be the lone wolf, you know, like, well, I'm doing it my way. I'm doing my thing. And, you know, my thing's probably better than his thing because whatever, you know.
Whatever reason is made up.
And I just feel that's something I'm really enjoying connecting with people like yourself. It's like that sense of being a part of a wider movement, you could say, of positive masculine initiation, you know, in this time. That's also what we're hoping to do with our documentary is, you know, we're hoping it gets out there, it gets shared, you know, and that we reach a lot more men, but also get a cultural conversation going about, you know, the whole point of the title, A New Men's Liberation. Well, we don't even have to call it new, you know, because we haven't really had one yet, you know. Culturally, we're all familiar with women's liberation, you know, and you know, obviously that's far from perfect, but you know, men are suffering under patriarchy just as much as women, actually, but in different ways. And I always think of this book title by Warren Farrell. You've heard of Warren Farrell? He was a feminist writer and supporter, and then he shifted to men's work, and he wrote a book called Women Don't Hear What Men Don't Say. And I think that does exemplify something about this hidden crisis, you know, that's just there, but it's because this is also why I feel what we're doing is important, that men have to feel they can speak about it. And obviously in coming together in these contexts and circles is the place it can really happen. So that men can start to feel empowered, like, hey, wait a minute, you know, masculinity is not toxic, you know, and you know, start standing up, you know, and bring in a real cultural change, you know, where we're not just allowing ourselves to be, our masculinity to be slowly eroded, you know. And as you said, there's this whole kind of, you know, there's all this gender bending going on, and, you know, like, now men can have babies, and, you know, you can't even have men and male and female toilets anymore, for Christ's sake. It's just insane, you know. But part of the reason it's happening is because men are letting it happen, you know. It should be men who are standing up and saying, wait a minute, this is fucking ridiculous, you know. It's not to say, yes, if you're transgender and genuinely transgender, it's fine. But, you know, we as men do not have to bow down to the 3% of the population who's transgender, for example. You know, to me, this is a big part of the, on a wider cultural scale, the emasculation of our culture.
Yeah, and, you know, there's so many different factors. It's just coming into my awareness. There's a study I read, you know, years ago that has to do with the increase of plastics into our diet, and at the actual shift and change when, you know, the embryo is developing, the fetus is developing inside the womb, that because of the leaching of plastic so much into our diet, that the hormones that are released that make, you know, the male body more hairy and more, you know, masculine that way, actually aren't as strong, and also on the vice versa with the female hormones that are released because of that plastic. But you know, and I think there's an element of that, and there's this element of this kind of, you could say, the transgender, pansexual, many identity world and society that we're in. And I celebrate it all. Like I have a wide variety of different individuals that come through to trainings and stuff. And I also just like I relate to being in this human life journey in a male body. I'm very much in touch to my feminine inside, but I'm in a male body. I have a penis in my base, and it rises, and I'm turned on in that way. It's just, and I can feel that way, and I don't need for everyone else to feel the same, and I celebrate that all. And it's like I'm not going to shame anyone else. And why does someone need to, shame me in any way? It's just like, and I think there's a certain dynamic in the procreative nature of humanity that is really turned on by polarity. I've never met a single, in doing this work for a long time, a single feminine energy that doesn't have a longing to deeply surrender and to be taken and to be ravished. I haven't met really a masculine energy that doesn't have a desire inside to penetrate and to take and to consume, with the eyes of love. So these are polarities that are inside, and however they show up inside, I want to master polarity, because when I master polarity, then I have a deeper playground to actually enjoy the human experience and not just be a victim for most of my life. And I've unfortunately, I think a lot of the culture that we live in is feeding the victim. It's feeding this place that, I need to listen to every single cultural thing before I post or share anything. It's like no matter what we do, I'm sure I'm violating or pissing off someone, and that's okay. That's part of being a human. It's like not everyone agrees with us. So can we be with pain and pleasure the same way and just recognize that they're symbiotically connected?
Yeah, right on. Totally agree. Yeah, and just to say, in our group, in our collective, there's one homosexual guy, one bisexual, and a transgender. So very interestingly, his name's Alex, but when he was a she, he was in the women's collective for many years, and for the last few years he made this transition. And so, but what's striking to me is in neither of those cases is it's not even an issue. I mean, when we're together, it's not even an issue. It's like, I think part of what's going on culturally is that, for a homosexual or a transsexual to be able to be who they are and fully relax into who they are, all the rest of us men need to adjust, But actually what we're finding is, this homosexual man, he still has a polarity. He can still have a strong masculine polarity. And Alex, who's the trans in this transgender journey, he's loving being with us as men. And because he's a very authentic transgender, he never felt at home in a woman's body. And when he finally got behind it and recognized it and began the journey, it's just been a huge homecoming. But it's amazing for him to be with us, to be a part of this collective. But we don't spend a lot of time talking with him about his process, and not any more than any other guy. Do you know what I mean? It's nothing special. That's the point. It's nothing special. It doesn't have to be something. So I'm totally with you
Yeah,
on that.
beautiful.
Anyway, lovely to speak with you. Really, really great, and really appreciate the exchange. And it sounds like you're doing fantastic work. Very inspiring.
Thank
And
you. Thank you.
don't know if you want to share anything about your book. Just to finish, I'll put the information in the description so people can find out.
Yeah, I mean it came out in December. It was a bestseller in seven countries around the world, and been sharing it around. It's really, it's about 350 pages, so it's an actual book. I say that just sometimes I feel like, anyways, it's a journey into like personal storytelling as well as a lot of practices. So you know, I found myself having a very similar intake conversation with, you know, the same type of male body over and over. And I was, you know, also I want felt the desire to write and to share. And yeah, people can really have a pretty profound transformational journey through reading this book. And actually, just at the end, I'm right now teaching a practitioner training in Florida. And at the end, I have about a 4 or 5 day window. I'm, you know, you'll record the Audible version of it. So I've been getting a lot of requests for the Audible version. That'll be coming out soon, probably in a couple months from now. So, yeah, it's a journey into embodiment, into really, you know, regaining power and also waking up. The last chapters around like, what do I do as a soul? How do I wake up the soul purpose and really live in the world in this way?
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I'm really, congratulations. I'm happy to hear that it's getting out there, doing so well.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll include all your information in the description below if any of you want to find out about what Aaron's up to.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah. Till next time.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much for listening. That's it for today. If you would like to find out more about my book, The Fire of the Heart, you can go to thefireoftheheart.com, where you can also download 4 free chapters. If you'd like to find out more about the Awaken Life Project, then go to awakenlifeproject.org or our Awaken Life Project Facebook page, where you can find out all about our ashram, extended spiritual community, retreats and other events, and our adventures living off-grid in the mountains of Portugal. So keep on keeping on until next time, and as they say in Portugal, até já.